But, like, if you're going to be the host sister in the equation, you don't tell your parents that you're the host sister.
Right. You don't keep it in the family, Sonny.
Yeah, you don't tell the, your other sister that you're the host sister, because now I'm looking at, about my husband, too. You just carry that nasty, horrible curse with you.
Why are you so mean to home?
I'm going to start with a quote.
Okay.
For your last meal, you're going to eat those words.
And?
You tell me.
Is that it?
You tell me. Who said it?
For your last meal, I'm going to guess this was said by Alyssa. On The Few.
So, okay, it's a quote from a movie.
Okay. Ma.
That Whoopi fuck.
Oh.
It's a quote from a Whoopi movie. Guess the movie.
Okay. So not Ma is what you're trying to tell me. Blizzard.
Close. It's from The Lion King.
Oh, my God. I actually was probably as close as it gets.
It's Shenzi, the hyena.
Right.
Played by Whoopi, as I said.
What inspired you to bring up this quote?
Well, it's award season right now, and I was thinking about movies, and I thought, let me start with a quote. And apparently Elton John EGOTed.
Oh, yeah. EGOT is EGOT.
Yeah, EGOT is EGOT. And I don't know if he has an Oscar for The Lion King. I know it won something, but I don't know if he was awarded.
Right.
Should we look it up? What did Elton John EGOT for?
I think it's for Best Original
Song.
Yeah,
it was for The Lion King.
Really nice. Really good. Good song.
Yeah.
Love that song.
So, the last time I saw you was at Madonna.
Yeah, speaking of songs we love.
But I never...
We went to see Madonna.
...got to debrief and hear your review of the concert.
I personally really enjoyed it. I had a lot of fun. Loved when she turned it into a Zumba class, when she was flying around the arena, suspended from the air, like pink, for Ray of Light. I don't know if I've felt so athletic ever in my life.
Athletic?
Than I did in that moment. I felt, yeah, like I actually, in my brain, I was like, I'm running this Zumba class.
I really liked that section.
I danced so hard. Yeah.
You were dancing? I couldn't dance. I was too stunned.
You were paralyzed, mesmerized. I danced my heart out for that part.
The whole night I was stunned. From the moment that we walked into the building, the security check where they asked for my keys and my keys and metal stuff, and I gave them my whole jacket.
Yeah. You acted like it was TSA.
And they were like, we don't want that. And I was like, well, I don't want to take it out of my pocket.
You said, I've got a one-way ticket to MDNA.
And then I dropped my keys on the ground and someone tried to pick them up for me. And I said, I don't know why. I said, I wouldn't dare. We also saw Sean at the concert and we didn't run into him, but we saw him because he was standing directly in front of the stage. He was like, clung to the stage. You could see his claw marks on the stage. That's how close he was. And he was like wearing this orange hat that was, it was a little distracting.
It was distracting for the performers, I think.
but we could see him. It was like we were mm-hmm. watching him watch Madonna.
Yeah, exactly.
Or it wasn't like that. It was that.
It was that. Yeah.
So I want to read you something that I saw before getting on mic. It's a little article that I saw on the U.S. Sun. The headline says, "The View's Ana Navarro parties at racy Miami club with half-naked dancers." Ana took to her personal Instagram to share a clip from a recent night out. She hit the town in Miami with her best friend, Lee, and visited a new restaurant called Delilah Miami. The 52-year-old showed off a singer clad in red as she panned around the room in her video. Waiters carried drinks while exotic dancers were seen in the middle of the room. Ana's wow. friends waved to her as they sat across from her at the table. This is the ultimate see and be seen place. It's a 1920s Hollywood supper club vibe. People dressed to the nines, though it's still Miami. Lots of navels and titties on display, no. she captioned her clip. The valet line was filled with exotic cars. It's spectacularly glamorous and fun. The lounge singer, whose name I wish I knew, was simply wonderful. They were sequin-clad women with peacock feathers in their hair, just randomly dancing around the place, she continued. The whole thing was quite the scene. Athletes, artists, business titans, a couple of half-naked housewives sucking on their cockies.
Excuse me?
Don't ask what we ate. I can't remember. Pigs in a blanket were involved. Fans took...
Is this all Anna's caption? Just for clarification.
This is a quote.
From Ana.
It's quote... Yeah. I mean, I'm just reading the article. Like... Do your own research. Fans took to the clip to share their thoughts on Ana's adult-oriented night at the club. Oh, wow. I gotta check this out, one wrote. Fabulous spot. Such a vibe. My new favorite spot in town, another commented. Very nice restaurant. Looks like a happy place. Some restaurants are boring, but not this one. Thank you for the real, a third wrote. In case anyone was wondering if the U.S. Sun is still reporting on party girl Ana Navarro's ways, mm-hmm. they are.
Did you have to, like, Google search that since you've turned your Google alerts off?
I navigated myself directly to the U.S. Sun.
What I want to know is, do you think that Sunny went there, too? Because we kind of got answers now. Because remember when Sunny was in Miami and we were like, what are the odds that she's there that weekend? Well, she did post on Instagram that she was there for one of her friends' birthdays, I believe it was. But I want to know if Sunny was also in attendance at this quote-unquote adult soiree.
This was posted only 3 days ago.
Okay, so the timelines don't really overlap.
And I can confirm all of that was quoting the caption. Even the cockies.
Okay. Even the Got it. It's just like, it sounded so much like it could just be the U.S. Sun making some editorial assumptions. So I needed to clarify.
I just also confirmed she did in fact say titties.
Okay, thank you.
One of the comments on her post on this, so I'm now looking at Anna's Instagram post. One of the comments uh-huh. is, love you, Ana, but why is it so important to you the part of see and be seen? You seem like such a strong and confident person. Thank you for sharing the restaurant. Apart from the fakeness you describe, it seems really lovely. Ana responds, I like food. I like fun. I like trying new things and seeing new places that are causing a buzz in my city. I like hanging out with my best friend whenever he takes me, which is usually pretty great, because this is what he does for a living. Why do I have to justify this to you? And just a thought, if I was so caught up with being seen, don't you think I would have taken and posted a picture of me at the place instead of highlighting the fabulous chanteuse? Whatevs. Have a lovely Sunday.
I mean, she's got points. If she wanted to see and be seen, which at first I thought you said CNBC, like the network. I was like, if Anna Navarro wants to be on CNBC, she could easily be on CNBC, okay?
Another person commented, I can't believe a place like that would have pigs in a blanket on the menu. I wouldn't even serve that at a party. And then Anna said, I love pigs in a blanket.
Like, what's wrong with pigs in the blanket? If you're at a place where there's titties out, are you really like, how could they serve us pigs in a blanket?
Where there's titties, there's pigs in a blanket. Okay, while I'm on Instagram, we received a DM from someone named Matt that says, mm-hmm. Hello, on a future pod, can we talk about View co-hosts and their day off rotations? And who else on the panel could moderate besides Joy? Maybe Sarah, Sunny, just the things I think about. What are the current rotations? We have Whoopi from Monday to Thursday. Mm-hmm. We have Joy Tuesday to Friday. And we have Anna Mondays and Fridays and whenever Liz Cheney is present.
I was gonna say, like, when Liz Cheney was there, there was like 18 people at the table.
Yeah, I think that's kind of funny that, like, for the first time they had all six of them there, and it was for Liz Cheney because they stan her so hard that they were like, no, none of us are taking the day off.
You know, like, when people have dining room tables and they have, like, that a leaf, I think it's called, where, that you put in the middle to, like, make it longer for, like, when you have guests over.
Yeah.
I feel like they had to put a leaf in the table because there were so many of them at it.
I find, like, the dynamic is much more nuanced than it used to be, like, back in the day when Barbara would be off. Because, like, in the old days, everyone really fell in line on the Barbara days. And then when she was off, like, Sherry, Elizabeth, Whoopi, and Joy would, like, wild out. And it would be, like, a completely different show because Mom was away.
Yeah.
Now I feel like Whoopi is almost, and, like, I'm not saying that Whoopi isn't silly, but, like, I almost feel like on the Whoopi days, she's, like, the mom who,
yeah,
like, they're all, like, low-key scared of her.
Especially, like, before, like, I would say when Megan was still there, it really felt like that. Like, when Whoopi wasn't there, when it was a Joy day. And after Megan left, like, it was, like, in that, like, recovery period, I felt like when it was a Joy day, they would, like, really take the advantage to, like, be a little sillier. But now I don't really notice a big difference between, like, the atmosphere of how they're acting when it's a Whoopi day moderating or a Joy day moderating.
Not hugely. I think when Anna is present is, like, when it does shift a little bit, because now, because Anna has, like, a big presence, and it also kind of highlights, like, the duos on the panel, because Anna and Sunny are kind of a duo in the same way that I would say, like, Sarah, yeah, and Alyssa are a duo now. So, but I don't think it's as, yeah, I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
True. Let's turn the table around. You tell us what you think. I don't notice it like I used to. Like, even there are some topics that I'll be thinking, like, oh, this must be, like, a Joy day, because they wouldn't be talking about this with Whoopi. And then, like, Whoopi's there. You know what I mean? It's like, I don't know. I just don't know if it's that big of a difference anymore.
I will say I like the rotation. I think 5 is usually the sweet spot for The View. But then when Paula Faris changed the game and invented Friday Girl, things shifted. And it's not the first time that they've had more than 5 co-hosts, but the last time when they had 6 and then they had, like, 2 swings, so they had, like, 8, yeah, you never knew who was going to show up when. And sometimes people would be, like, fired and you didn't know that that's why they disappeared. And
yeah,
what I like about this rotation is that I know that Joy is going to be there on Tuesday. I know that Whoopi's not going to be there on Friday. Like, I know what to expect on each day.
Yeah.
And I think it's interesting that they're playing with having all 6 of them there for important days.
It's just a lot of people at the table. It's just a lot. But for the eye, it looks like when they brought all of the hosts back for Barbara. But you know what? If it works for them, it doesn't seem like they're struggling to get a word in. Like, it seems like it's all very still well balanced in terms of everyone talking. So, you know, if it works for them.
Yeah, I think Anna is such a Liz Cheney fan, so she just wasn't going to not be there. And then clearly no one else wanted to not get paid that day. So,
yeah,
it's funny for me because I like struggled to watch that entire episode was like, they did one Hot Topic, which was like a repeat top, the same one they do every day, which is like, is Trump good or bad?
Is Trump gonna win? Who should we put up against Trump?
Yeah, and then they went into Liz Cheney for a full hour, and I truly was like falling asleep.
Can I tell you something? Can I confess something to you?
Okay.
I watched the first 10, maybe 10 minutes of Liz Cheney being there, thinking, wait a second, I think I'm confused about something. Things aren't adding up to me. So I did my own little research and realized this entire time, the last whatever 10-15 years, I thought there was only one like Cheney daughter and that it was the lesbian one. I thought Liz Cheney was the lesbian one. Newsflash, she's not.
The fact that you even knew.
That's Mary Cheney.
The fact that you even knew how many, like, about any Cheneys is wild to me.
Because it was really big news when it was revealed to the American public that Dick Cheney had this lesbian daughter, and he was like, not denounce, but what's that called? You know what I mean? Like, he wasn't like approving of gay marriage. And so Mary Cheney was like, I'm going out on my own. I thought that was the only Cheney girl. So
there's always another Cheney. Wait till you learn about Lawrence Cheney.
So when Liz Cheney started being all, you know, around, I thought that's the lesbian one. And I was like, oh, she really, like, you know, got back in good with the Republicans and she's done all this stuff and now she's on The View. And then when I was watching it, I was like, this isn't adding up. This isn't the Cheney that I know. Because it wasn't. That's Mary Cheney. So I'm going to be honest with you. As soon as I realized that it wasn't the lesbian Cheney, I stopped watching. I said, what am I doing this for? I don't know this woman. I don't know anything about this woman. The one thing I thought I knew about her isn't even true. I didn't watch it because I couldn't. It, like you said, it was just, if you're a Liz Cheney stan, I'm sure it was amazing for you. But, you know, for me, I would have watched an hour of Mary.
If only I had been able to live the first 10 minutes of it in the world that you were living in and thought I was at least seeing a lesbian Cheney, then maybe I could have stayed awake for it. But just like, I know that episode of television wasn't for me.
Yeah.
Like, that was rough.
It was like, why, at first, you know, because even when I thought it was the lesbian, I was like, oh, why do I care, like, what Liz Cheney thinks about all of this stuff? But I was like, but at least, you know, it's good to have a lesbian's opinion once in a while. Then when I realized that's not even the case, it's like, what do I want this woman's opinion for? Because the topics they discussed were topics that they discuss on The View weekly, almost daily. So it was like, I already know how these six feel.
Yeah.
I don't need to hear heterosexual Liz Cheney's opinion. So I'm done.
Even like Alyssa, there was a part where she said that Liz Cheney like inspired her to speak out against Trump and helped Alyssa to inspire others to speak out about Trump. Even that, I was like, we hear this day in, day out. Like, it's nothing new and it's nothing homosexual at all.
Exactly.
In general, this week, a lot of the topics were very repetitive, especially the political ones. And to clarify, like, when I say political, I'm talking about, like, when they discuss the election and when they discuss
politicians. Like, the literal U.S. election. Yeah.
They, like, started off the week talking about Biden, like, I guess, taking a shot at Nikki Haley and her comment about, like, not knowing about the Civil War and slavery. And it ended up in this conversation about Sonny saying that the way that Biden has handled the war right now is very unpopular among young people. And Joy responded, by next year, it'll be over and we'll move on. Like, very, like, whatever. So what? Who cares?
Yeah, like, so dismissive.
It, like, set the tone for, like, the whole week because, like, that's all what they talked about all week was just, like, not being willing to critique anything in any way, shape, or form that Biden does, and then just having, like, the same conversation about Trump over and over and over again with a few new characters such as Nikki Haley and, like, DeSantis and Chris Christie.
Yeah, so, like, they get stuck in this loop around when the election starts getting, like, closer and closer, where, because we've seen this before, and it's like they're stuck in this loop where the Biden supporters don't even want to entertain the notion that Biden's not going to win, which is a dangerous thought because we've seen what happened when everyone was so sure that Hillary was going to win. They even had the primetime special about Hillary winning, and then, you know, she didn't win. And, like, I think that Sonny has been doing a good job recently of, like, bringing up valid points, like, that a lot of young people are not the approval numbers in young people are very low right now for Biden, especially with regards to, like, the war, the, like, what Biden's doing in Gaza, like, you know, the way that they're responding to Gaza. So Sonny brings up these points, and then I don't think it does anyone any good to dismiss with the points that Sonny's bringing up, because those are, like, valid concerns, and those are actually things that a lot of young people really care about right now. I think people of all ages should care about them. It just doesn't sit well the way that these issues are being dismissed. And it's also, like, not helping the pro-Biden case either, because it's like, maybe you should listen to this, because if you just keep dismissing it and being like, oh, whatever, they'll get over it. Well, people aren't going to get over it so easily when it's, like, literal matter of life and death. And, like, maybe this could be a big reason for if Biden doesn't win, if people don't show up at the polls or, you know, at the voting booth for him, could very well be in large part due to these issues that Sonny's bringing up. And it's just, like, seems very irresponsible to be like,
they'll get over,
you know,
it.
Whatever. They'll get over it. It's like, first of all, it's just, you're talking about people's lives and people's lives being ruined daily because of what's happening. To be like, oh, they'll get over it is just like, I don't know. It's not great. Yeah. It's not great, Joy. And it's like, they're so stuck in this loop that, I don't know, maybe they do need to listen to the things Sonny's bringing up. Even the things that Alyssa's bringing up when she's like, kind of, she keeps saying, like, here's my warning to Democrats. And maybe they don't like being told what to do, but it's worth listening because we all know what happened in 2016 and it very well could happen again.
Yeah, the stuff that they talk about on The View day in and day out is exactly, like, why I guess, like, young people probably feel like nothing matters. Not directly because of The View, but it's like, it's those same sort of, like, conversations that make people not, like, just not care, because they're seeing, like, the same loop, as you said, happening every day. But at the same time, I think it's important to remember that the people like us, and probably most of the people that would listen to this podcast, sometimes The View is just not for us. Like, they probably are hitting their target demo perfectly by having these repetitive conversations. Yeah. Like, that probably is what their people want to hear. And that is why, for example, when there was an open seat on The View, that they didn't fill that seat with, like, a new perspective. They filled it with literally a Trump staffer talking about how Trump is bad now. So,
and I do applaud when Sonny brings it up, and she does try to get them to listen to these different perspectives. I do, like, applaud her on that, But, you know, I just, when Joy answers, like, oh, they'll get over it, and no one really, like, stands up for, I don't know. I just don't know, like, is this, are we going to be living in this, like, Groundhog Day until Election Day? Because that's kind of what happened last election, and it's just, you know, I don't know if we need to relive that.
I don't know. I'm sure that it's a very, like, tough balance because, well, I don't think they're balancing very well, but I think it is, like, it's a real threat. So, like, I get why they talk about the same things every day because they're, like, they think
about,
that they're...
About, like, Trump winning, you mean?
Yeah, about Trump winning. But it can be hard to watch. And I just have to
kind of, like... Yeah, it's, like, I get why they're talking about it, and I get why it's, like... There, you know, there's fear there. I totally get that. But when people are pointing out being like, okay, well, if you want to make sure that Biden wins, here are the things that we should address. And your response is to be like, don't worry about it. It's just like, oh, okay. I don't think that's helpful.
And it's funny how they all identify as like very left, except for Sarah and Alyssa. And like, well, I guess Sunny wouldn't say that she is. Mm-hmm. But Joy, okay. Joy definitely feels
you're like actually wait none of them
but I guess I was just thinking about like when Liz Cheney was there, Joy was like, oh, like they like you, like the our lefty audience gave you a big applause. And I just think like, well, your audience is probably very centrist based on like how like all of you are very centrist.
I think that Joy really thinks that she's like the left of the left. And it's like, I kind of think that she's out of touch with, like, what being progressive really is in 2024.
I think she is, like, in her beliefs and in her core is very progressive. But what she talks about on The View every day is very, well, she's obsessed with Biden. I think it's because she's, like, separating her, like, personal views and, like, what she believes with, like, putting her political strategy hat on and, like, truly believes like, Biden being the best. Because I guess they only really talk about politics on The View in terms of, like, Democrats versus Republicans.
Yeah.
I just think, like, the political discussions on The View are just not for me. It doesn't resonate with me at all. And it's also, like, not as entertaining because they're not really, like, arguing either. So it's that part, that aspect of the show is really, like, not what is feeding me. Anyways, on to something much more important. I know you wanted to talk about a certain doctor.
Oh, my God. Okay. We talked about Dr. Jennifer Aniston last episode because I said that my dream would be for her and Gypsy Rose to appear on the same episode. And then wouldn't you know it, the Monday after Gypsy Rose was on, Dr. Jennifer Aniston is on there talking about how to stay healthy this flu season, which actually couldn't have come at a better time for me. Well, it actually could have, because had I heard her tips... just a few days earlier, I would have been able to prevent this cold that I have right now. And in turn, I wouldn't sound like I'm Britney Spears announcing her performance on Good Morning America.
She said the best way to prevent from getting sick is not super sexy.
Which is fine, because that's part of my brand. Did you know that Dr. Jennifer Aniston has her own magazine?
Well, that was part of what she was there to promote. Is you've heard of O, you've heard of Ro. We'll get ready for Dr. Jen. That's the name of the magazine. Dr. Jen.
Yes. Dr. Jen magazine. It's a full magazine with her on it. Kind of like how Oprah would always be on the cover. Rosie would always be on the cover. Well, Dr. Jen will always be on the cover. And if you wanted...
Because staying like healthy will always be front page news.
If you watch Dr. Jennifer Aniston on The View and you're thinking, God, I could get about 120 pages more of this, well, you're in luck because the Dr. Jennifer Aniston magazine is available now.
And a apparently they're flying off the 7-Eleven shelves because they said it's like one of the highest sellers that this company has put out. I just can't believe here she is and her magazine, the woman who stole Sarah's job out from under her, and the woman who stood by while TJ and Amy were banished away to become podcasters. There's so much lore around Dr. Jennifer Aniston. And as everyone around her falls, she just gets more and more powerful.
So true. Everyone is distracted with their little office romances, with going off to be the host of a game show. You know what Dr. Jennifer Aniston was doing? Writing a fucking magazine. Posing for the front page of her fucking magazine and doing it gracefully.
And doing it without a drop of alcohol, because she was also there to promote the benefits of dry January and to talk about the dangers of alcohol. They were asking her about, is it worth it to do dry January because it's become very popular? And she actually coined it dry January. I myself was doing dry January, but Madonna did drive me to drink, and now I'm doing I'm doing damp January, and I'm doing moist Dr. January.
I'd like to think I'm always doing moist Dr. January. One thing that I really loved about this was that they were also talking about women's health, because she is also a board certified gynecologist, and her advice, they kind of brought it back to that sex topic that we had been talking about. Like, Alyssa asked the question,
why did they need to end the interview by asking her about mistakes people make after sex?
Because I think Alyssa wanted to bring up again how what Sarah had said, because she said, can you tell us what are some do's for sex, such as don't start doing chores, Sarah Haynes? But one thing that Jennifer Aniston said was, if you don't use it, you will lose it.
I don't agree with that.
So that might be shocking for some of you to hear.
I don't know if I agree with that. I'm one of the people that remembers when Sherry Shepherd went celibate before she got married for like a year. And that woman did not lose a thing.
She did not lose. Yeah. Well, that's what board certified Dr. Jennifer Aniston says. If you don't use it, you will lose it. One thing that I also really loved was, I was looking at the YouTube comments for this clip, and someone commented, I loved Jen in Friends. Now she's a doctor. Color me impressed.
No.
I just report the facts. It's up to you to research.
Someone literally commented that?
Somebody commented that. Whether they were doing it tongue-in-cheek or not, I leave that up to you. But they did, in fact, say that.
You mean to say that we aren't the only people in the world that could ever come up with that?
I think it's taking over. I think it's a worldwide phenomenon.
People are feeling the Gen to see. Another thing that happened on The View was this topic, hot topic that they did about a family crisis. A woman wrote on Reddit that she was sleeping with another sister's husband. So she's one of three sisters. And she will not confess that to her sister because she doesn't want to wreck their relationship. And so they were weighing in on, like, what to do in this situation. If you're the middle sister and your sister has told you that she's having an affair with your other sister's husband, do you reveal this to the other sister? What do you do?
At first I was, like, not really understanding the topic. But then when Sunny broke it down because at first I was like, but who's the one who's sleeping with the husband? Is it the person asking, or was the middle sister told of it? Sunny broke it down. She said, if you're going to be the ho sister in the equation. And then I said, okay, this is actually a lot easier to follow if we keep referring to one of them as the ho sister. And luckily they did do that for the whole topic. But also in reference to what Sunny said, Whoopi asked why are you so mean to hoes?
Yeah. Sunny is mean to hoes from time
to time. We've all asked that at one point or another. Why is Sunny so mean to hoes?
I liked when Anna said, there's two hoes here.
She said, there's two hoes here, the sister and the husband, which was so true. I was like, finally, someone said it. The mm-hmm. husband's a hoe also.
Have you ever had an affair with your sister's husband?
I'm not a hoe sister, nor do I have a hoe sister. So there's no hoe business happening. Have you?
No, that's not happening.
Someone who it did happen to, though, with a best friend is Alyssa, because she revealed that in, I think it was in university, her best friend was had hooked up with her boyfriend. And Sunny took the opportunity to say, did you know you had a hoe best friend? What's that song by Miley Cyrus? The hoedown throwdown.
What do you do in this situation? I liked that Whoopi had a different perspective on it. Like, Sarah was like, I'm giving the sister 48 hours and she has to confess. Because it's going to look bad on the both of you. Because the sister's going to be mad at the hoe sister, and then she's going to be mad at you for knowing about the hoe sister and not telling her. But Whoopi was like, no, it's not my problem. It's none of my business. I'm going to act like you never told me that. And a lot of people in the YouTube comments couldn't believe that Whoopi would say that. But it's not as cut and dry as you think it is. Like, it's a tough call.
It's hard to be the hoe and reveal yourself, but it's equally as hard to reveal the hoe.
And you know what? So, let's have some sympathy for the hoe revealed as well. Because she made a mistake. I think, like, though, to sleep with a sister's partner is so nasty. Like,
and equally, like, don't make no mistake about it. I think that it's even, I almost think it's even worse on the husband's behalf. Like, you went and slept with her sister. That was her sister. Like, how could you do that? That's her literal sister.
The whole family is screwed up. Like, well, they're already screwed up, but no one's getting out of this not screwed up.
No, the family is screwed up due to hoe behavior now.
I loved also that people in the comments were, like, confessing their experience with similar situations. Someone wrote, I have a cousin that had an affair with her sister's husband, and they both were pregnant by the same guy at the same time. The family never saw her the same way after that.
Also, like, I just want to keep saying, I hope they also never saw the husband the same way.
T.
This just reminds me so much of Monica's storyline from Real Housewives of Salt Lake City. She did openly state that she had an affair with her brother-in-law. She was having an ongoing affair with her brother-in-law, but she also wanted to make it very crystal clear that it wasn't her ex-husband's brother. It was like her ex-husband's sister's husband. So it was like, two times away brother-in-law. You know what I mean?
Squeaky clean.
So that's forgivable. That makes a world of difference. Speaking of ho and homo, that brings us to FOMO and how forgetting FOMO and embracing JOMO is the new thing.
Yeah.
Do you know what JOMO is?
I do, because I don't think JOMO ever really took off, but it definitely came and went already in the culture. Like, it's not a new thing, so I have to wonder where this came from. But talking about, rather than having fear of missing out, embracing doing nothing. And I think that's great if that's your gig.
The joy of missing out.
Yeah.
Like, Sunny is very much, like, extroverted, and she seemed to be the only person who still resonates with FOMO. Everybody else was very, like, I'm pro-JOMO.
I think it's safe to say if Anna had been there, she have been anti-JOMO.
For sure, because she's always on CNBC at the parties in Miami. Sarah said, I'm the opposite of Sunny. I go to nothing. I stay at home. My brother calls me a functioning shut-in. While she said this, did you notice that she was kind of dressed like she was going to an, and I say this with love and respect to her and to the wardrobe team, but did you notice that she was kind of dressed like she was going to an Amish funeral? She was kind of giving, For Richer or Poorer, the movie with Tim Allen and Kirstie Alley.
Describe the outfit. I remember she was wearing a black, like, hair thing. Yes. In her hair.
Yes, a black hair scarf, like, tying up her hair in, like, in a bun. And then I couldn't see, like, the bottoms. I don't remember what the bottoms were, but it was a black, just looked like a simple black shirt. But that paired with the black hair tie, it was giving Amish country, hiding in an Amish community to avoid tax evasion.
Yeah, as a functional shut-in.
As a functional shut-in. And that's the thing, to bring it back. It just felt like, well, yeah, it makes sense that you are saying these things while you're in this costume.
Yeah. Alyssa also said, you could not pay me to go to the club. I'd rather be home in my pajamas. What I was trying to say is, like, I don't have a problem with people who don't like going out and people who want to be a homebody, but I think the people who, like, almost, like, brag about being a homebody or, like, you couldn't pay me to go to the club. It's like...
Like, club shaming.
Yeah, or just, like, if you want to stay home, stay home. Like,
yeah.
You don't have to, like, make it your personality that let everyone know how boring you are.
I would pay her to go to the club. If she was running a service that was, like...
Bottle service?
You know, if she was running a bottle service, pay $500 to go to the club with Alyssa, I'd do it. Because I think it would be a fun night.
She would be sitting in her pajamas and...
I would...
She wouldn't get dressed. But you know what?
I bet you if you brought her to one of those Taylor Swift dance parties, she'd have a blast. And that would be a really fun night for me and Alyssa. So it's the invite is out there. If she wants to change her mind, I bet we could take her out for like a really fun Taylor Swift drag night.
Jolie and Alyssa.
And Sunny, like, obviously Sunny. I feel like Anna would probably want to come. At that point, Sarah would be like, oh, man. Then Sarah would start actually getting FOMO. So, you know, just the whole crew. And then at a certain point during this topic, after everyone had kind of said what they needed to say, Whoopi then took it upon herself to be like, that's cool. So here's some bread that I made.
Yeah, after Sarah is like, Whoopi doesn't have this problem. Like, Whoopi has no problem with FOMO. She's a JOMO girl. Uh-huh. And that's when Whoopi ignores what Sarah said, doesn't respond, like, just is in another planet and holds up this piece of bread that is shaped like a fish. And she just said... She was baking a lot and when she was in Italy and someone saved her bread for her because it looks like a fish. By the way, do you want to name it?
See, to me, this piece of bread is like, remember that the dress where it was like you either saw it black and blue or gold and white? The bread to me is the new dress because some people see a fish. I see like a camel kind of like sitting, a camel or like a deer kind of sitting. So I'm really interested. Like, I feel like it tells you a lot about the person if they see the camel or they see the fish.
I saw the fish. So what does that mean? Is it like, does it mean it's a sign of intelligence? Like if I have a longer toe?
It's like left brain, right brain.
No brain.
Yeah.
What this reminded me of is the last time that Whoopi asked us to name something. Do you recall, Marie? Because it was not long ago that Whoopi had a footstool. Actually, as I'm saying this, I don't think she asked us to name the footstool, but she asked us to, like, decorate it or something.
Uh-huh.
And we never got a follow-up to that, ever.
No.
And so
I don't think anyone remembers that that happened other than you.
We all remember the stools.
Well, they
I don't think the reason you don't remember is because they don't want you to remember.
That's what I meant. What I mean is, like, I don't think anyone who actually has any control and any say with the stool remembers that that happened.
Well, when I saw this bread and Whoopi said, go to our website and name it, that's all I could think was, oh, sure, I'm going to think of an amazing name for your little bread fish and then never see that bread again.
You said, let's get this bread. Did you go to the website and submit a name?
Do they even... What is the website? I also believe that the website doesn't exist and it's just something that Whoopi refers to. I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. I don't think that there's a name submission. If you were to submit a name, do you feel comfortable telling us what you would say, what you would name it?
No, I don't feel comfortable.
Okay, then that's fine. I have a name.
Go on.
If you'd like to hear it. I thought Emma. I thought that was a good name for it. Guess we'll wait and see.
I spotted a YouTube comment on this. Because I went to the comments specifically so that I could see what names people were coming up with. Mm-hmm. And there weren't any really worth noting. No one said Emma, that's for sure.
Right.
And I saw the most peculiar comment. It says, my husband was a socialite and loved people, food, and fellowship. I went with him everywhere, socialized with him, and raised my children amongst that environment. When he passed away 2 years ago, I shut it all down. Not because I was depressed, though I did grieve, but because that was completely him. And I now had a chance, and I prefer my own company. I even take myself out to eat. Our friends think I have completely lost it, but those that know me are not at all surprised. I thought my children would continue on their dad's tradition because they were always so very popular. Nope. They enjoy a more selective group of friends and limit their social life, and we are all very happy. So what I took from that is they killed him.
It's crazy that... It's like she seems to just be living a very normal life now. And those seem like very reasonable things to do. But the comment where she said that her friends think that she's gone absolutely crazy. Why?
And her
what
saying,
else is there?
Her saying she finally has a choice. Like, and he was a socialite.
Yeah.
And now all the kids are also limiting their time with others.
What's going on there?
It's giving homicide.
They don't have FOMO or JOMO. They have homicide.
Yes. There was another comment that was just like, silly fun segment. I am JOMO. Like Sarah and Alyssa. I am JOMO. Another topic from the last week that I feel was worth mentioning was this Taylor Swift topic. Fox News had a segment about Taylor Swift where it was very conspiracy theory, questioning why she blew up and became so popular. And it claimed, like, it said that it came from the Pentagon wanting to turn her into an asset during a NATO meeting. And it claimed that Taylor is a psyop. Remember the Cyclops? Remember when... The View audience was put under a Cyclops to like Alyssa.
Yes. Yeah.
So this has happened with Taylor Swift, and that's why we all love Taylor Swift. And the Fox News segment was saying, it was complaining that she had convinced so many people to register to vote, just openly saying that that's a bad thing.
Yeah.
Because Republicans don't want people to vote because...
Especially young people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, due to the Cyclops, we like Taylor Swift now. I found it to be really, really interesting timing that Fox News is trying to go after Taylor Swift right now. When I would say, due to the Cyclops that is her boyfriend currently, I would say she's never in recent years, let's say the last 5 years, she's never been more favored by, like, conservatives. in America and Canada than she is now. Now that she's like living the like American dream, like football player, like Midwest appeal kind of life. So it's very interesting that they're like going after her now and not when she like was being more political in the sense of making posts about voting and all of that. So I don't know. I just thought that it was, do we think that there's a Cyclops now? The only Cyclops I see is in the NFL. So.
I do sometimes see like a lot of pandemonium around Taylor, and sometimes it is giving Cyclops, but not in a political Cyclops.
Exactly. Like, I feel like, yeah, there's a lot of like PR placement and like Taylor Swift placement in certain things, but I don't think that it's in the way that Fox News fears that it is.
I thought Sunny kind of hit the nail on the head with why Fox News would do a segment like this, because she said, you have to remember that Taylor Swift started out in country. She said that Taylor was born in Tennessee. There was a comment on the YouTube video that said she was not born in Tennessee. Please be factual. Like, they wanted a legal note.
Yeah. They were like, actually, I have a legal note.
But anyways, she said she started out in country and then over time came out as a Democrat, came out as supporting LGBT people and pro-choice. And she said they picked the wrong princess because they thought that Taylor was their girl, but actually they should have stuck with Carrie Underwood. Sunny didn't say that, though. But I do think that's what it is. It's like they just thought that this was like their country girl, and then she ended up not being that.
But that's kind of my point, is like, it's been clear for like the last 5 years that she's not that. If anything, I do feel like now she's like back more to that. So why are they like going after her now? But then the Pentagon released a statement in response to what Fox News said. And like, I don't know, it's kind of cringe. It's cringe when the government starts like speaking in like lyric quotes and making little jokes. I'm like, you're the government. You're the government. You're not like Nabisco on Twitter. Like, you're not BuzzFeed. Like, can you act like the government? Because what they said was, you know, this is absolutely not true. We are not at all creating a Taylor Swift Cyclops. And we're just going to have to shake it off.
Yeah, I agree. It's cringe. Although,
like, don't do that. Like, don't. You're literally you're the government. You shouldn't be funny. Don't be messing around. You handle our money. Don't play like that, please.
Yeah, and if anything, it only makes it look like more of a Cyclops.
Yes, exactly. Because it's like, she's part of your language now, so please don't do that.
Which Taylor Swift song would you say is giving the most Cyclops vibes? Like, I was thinking back to that Simpsons episode where there's like, I forget exactly, but there was like a pop band, and every time they played the song, it was like hypnotizing them.
It was like it was saying join. Yeah, it was saying join the Navy backwards.
Yeah, and then like obviously like Josie and the Pussycat Dolls, but like which one? Which Taylor song is the most Cyclops?
If I had to just go off musically speaking, musically, what sounds the most like it would be a Psyops like thing, it would be me. Me, exclamation mark. To me, yeah. Sounds the most like it would be like an Yvonette Nioj.
Yeah. Me. It's like kill, kill, kill.
God. And you know, she's literally saying me, like it's Taylor Swift, like it's, we're being hypnotized to love her in that song.
You know what?
So that's what I would say.
You know what the Beyonce Cyclops would be? It would be Single Ladies. She says, put your hands up.
Yeah.
And she's hypnotizing people to participate in the sanctity of marriage.
Exactly. Single Ladies really did a number on us as a whole. But here's the thing. The reason why I don't think that me is actually a psyops is, like, it kind of... It didn't resonate with people.
It was a psy-flop.
It was a... Exactly. So, like, I don't know. I'm not buying it. Like you said, I agree. There's definitely some... There's something happening. It's... There is a Wizard of Oz vibe to the Taylor Swiftification of the world right now. There's definitely someone behind the curtain, but I don't actually think that it's, like, to get people to the polls, because I think if it was to get people to the polls, she'd actually be a lot more vocal about it in 2024, as opposed to, like, showing up and partying with Brittany Mahomes of the NFL. So
yeah, they're definitely, she's not, like, the most politically outspoken. She
God, no.
She gives us the bare minimums. And so if it is a Cyclops, she's doing it very sneakily.
If it is a Cyclops, currently the eye is closed.
Some other comments that I saw on this. Someone said, new here. I'm so glad to find this group of intelligent, compassionate, diverse women discussing the female side of issues of importance to our country. I do get frustrated, though, following a worthwhile point of view when it's interrupted by someone. We women think fast. I know that. We are good at seeing the whole picture. We are good at adding other pieces of a train of thought. I think we could get better at letting each other speak without jumping in and sometimes disrupting the cohesiveness of a viewpoint being expressed. I want to hear it all, one person at a time.
I was gonna be like, is she new here? And then I remembered that she literally started her comment with, new here. Like, thanks for tuning in for the first time ever. Like, she's clearly never seen the show before.
Yeah, go she watch hasn't the lived COVID through, seasons.
Exactly. She hasn't lived through the years that the rest of us have.
You don't know what the hell I've been through. someone else said, now I love Taylor Swift for saving American democracy. There is no other young celebrities are brave like her to say and do it for her own country. Bravo, Taylor Swift. In my opinion, Taylor Swift got as big as she did and as powerful as she did because she managed to capture a strong female base with a girl power message similar to the Spice Girls in the 90s, which also had a massive influence on basically every woman, which is 50% of the population. Get them plus the gays and you've got a majority, LOL. I don't know that Taylor Swift has a similar message to the Spice Girls.
No.
I think... there are feminist lyrics. I don't think she's girl power pop.
I've seen, this is like kind of relevant. Speaking of girl power lyrics, like, you know how Taylor categorizes her songs as like, it was either written with like a quill feather pen, gel pen. Like, you know, she like says that there's different songs for different seasons of life, if you will. I don't think there are any specifically inherently feminist songs the way that the Spice Girls were talking about girl power, but I've heard this theory on TikTok, and it's like, it's kind of a joke, but when you think about it, it makes sense. There are certain Taylor Swift songs where Taylor Swift didn't write it. She was possessed by the spirit of a Victorian lesbian woman named Cosette. And there are those songs that come out of nowhere that you're like, who wrote Ivy? Because it wasn't the person who wrote Me. And so while they're not like inherently feminist in that they're like the lyrics are saying girl power, there is an essence of femininity and female power in those songs, because you know that a female power took over her body. An ancient female power took over her body and wrote those songs.
Absolutely. But but when I think about girl power, I think about like literally the song Power by Little Mix. And I don't think Taylor has any motorbike sounds in her songs.
Well, actually, not a motorbike sound, but she does have the song The Man.
Right. one of my favorite girl power songs, The Man. No, it is because a girl power song. It is.
It is a girl power song. It is a girl power song. And, you know, it is, even though it doesn't have a motorbike sound in it, it is still a girl power song. So there's that.
And that's on Cyclops.
Yeah.
Well, anything else before we move on to the little micro moments of the week?
I'm so ready to move to the micro moments. I feel like we were actually blessed with a lot of micro moments this past week.
The micro moments were macro in quantity. Do you want to begin?
I'll start with my first micro moment. And I guess we'll do it like last time. If we have one that matches up, then we both get to share. My first micro moment was in a topic that was called My Wife is Turned Off by My Foot Fetish. And in that topic, Joy said, "Not to brag, but my feet have created fetishes." You're welcome.
Didn't Alyssa also say something crazy in that? I'm pretty sure she said,
yeah,
she said something like, it's your job to facilitate, at least make an effort to facilitate your partner's kinks or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, she did say something like that about kinks.
And then they were having like a discussion of like, they didn't like the word fetish, but they were like, maybe kink is fine.
Sarah was really put off by the word fetish. She said, it would be one thing if I found out that my husband really liked my feet, but as soon as he qualified it as a fetish, I would suddenly not be interested. I think that that's just interesting.
What is going on? Like, that is, it's not
was
like...
It, I can't remember. Was it Sunny or Anna? Yeah, and was it Sunny or Anna who was like, are you guys crazy? Like, this sounds like a great deal. Like, if you are with someone... Your partner has a foot fetish and you love receiving foot massages, that means you're either about to receive a foot massage every single day for the rest of your life, or if you don't want a foot massage, they could go get a gig as a foot masseuse or doing pedicures, bring in some extra income. No matter which way you cut it, it's a great deal.
Yeah, like, get a grip. Get 2 feet back on the ground. The next moment is a moment that happened on Monday where Whoopi starts the show and then she starts introducing the topic and then she looks to her right. She looks northeast. She looks up and over because of a noise. And Sarah says, "God, is that you?" Later, we have no idea. Like, I didn't hear anything. Like, I did not hear a noise. Later, Brian Tetta tweets, "For those wondering, the echo at the start of the show was an issue with the audio board. Move along, nothing to see here."
But, like, the audience at home didn't hear an echo.
I heard nothing. I saw Whoopi react to something. It was me.
There was a psyop in the building that the audience heard, but viewers at home did not hear it. That also reminds me, there was another topic... There was another topic where I guess it was a ringtone or something went off in the audience and Whoopi stopped and turned out to the audience and went, "Peter Pan?"
Oh, yeah.
What's going on there? My next moment is during the topic about Chris Christie leaving the race. Joy said they were talking about watching the Republican debate where Trump was not in attendance. Joy said, "It's like going to a Broadway show and the understudies show up." This apparently was a very controversial thing to say. Whoopi was very concerned that Joy would face backlash for having said that. And she repeatedly tried to clarify that Joy was not insinuating that there's something wrong with understudies. And Joy kept saying, it's just like a saying. It's just like
an analogy.
It's an analogy. And Whoopi wanted to clear that up because you know how people are. They're going to go after you for saying anything. So she really wanted to clarify. You know how
those understudies are. They're vicious. And they're so sensitive.
And I just thought it was a really funny analogy to say. I'd never heard it before. I can only assume she made it up on the spot. I thought it was funny because you and I had just recently been talking about, we both know people who went to see big shows where there was some stunt casting done, and the people who we know went on days when it was understudies. So for me, it was my friend Mira went on, went to see Funny Girl, famously for to see Leah Michelle in Funny Girl, and she went on a day when it was the understudy performing.
And my friend Katie went to see Nicole Scherzinger, famously in Sunset Boulevard, and it was a day where the understudy was performing.
And so I think that those two people would definitely understand the analogy of going to a Broadway show and the understudies show up. No hate towards the understudies, but we're talking about Leah Michelle and Nicole Scherzinger here.
That's the second week in a row of like Joy saying something and everyone being like, oh, that's not, she doesn't mean that. And Joy not backing down and being like, I said what I said.
Yeah. But like, crazy that they're rushed to clarify her comments when she's talking about Broadway understudies, but not when she's talking about like war. But anyways.
Okay. My next moment is when Sarah tried to throw shade at Joy. Joy said that something happened before her time. And Sarah responded, there were dinosaurs. And the audience went quiet. And then Joy said, notice how that didn't get a laugh? Notice how that didn't get a laugh is sister, is the ho sister to the, well, the audience wasn't laughing, Joy.
My next moment is really short and sweet, but it was when they were talking about the Haley DeSantis Iowa debate again. And Joy said that she was talking about, you know, issues that they were talking about, that they talk about now, like abortion rights. They were arguing back in the 70s. And she said, when I was fertile as all get out. When I was fertile as all get out.
By Jordan Peele. My next one is Sunny talking about Nikki Haley. She said, she was talking about how when Hillary was running, people said, I don't vote for someone just because they have a vagina. And Sunny says, well, last I checked, Nikki Haley has one too. Joy says, what do you mean last time you checked? Sunny did not laugh. And it's funny because Alyssa then starts to interrupt Sunny because she didn't like the idea that like Republicans would be voting, doing identity politics. She said something like, Republicans don't do identity politics. And Sunny starts to get really annoyed that she's being interrupted. She's like, don't interrupt me. And then as she's saying, don't interrupt me, Joy interrupts and says, I'm still on Nikki's vagina, frankly.
My next moment was during the Annette Bening interview. I don't even know how to intro this. Part of the moment is it's that out of nowhere, before even talking about anything, they started talking about her dog. And she showed a picture because they're all like, oh my God, what kind of dog do you have? And she goes, I have a Newfoundland. And they all scream. They all scream with joy. Like, as if they all immediately know what the fuck a Newfoundland kind of dog looks like. I didn't know. I only knew because they had a picture. And they all screamed for joy. Like, it was the most thrilling part of the interview for them. And then Annette Bening said, she's 12 years old, which for a Newfie is very old. Which, like, I know they're talking about dogs. I know. I understand. I'm not stupid. I understand they're talking about a dog. But for us living in Canada, when we hear people talking about Newfies, we're not thinking that they're talking about dogs. So I just thought that that was very funny.
I also thought it was funny that Anna was such a NIAID stan and was, like, obsessed with Annette Bening. Like, out of nowhere, like, she really took the time. You know how Sunny reads the book always? Like, Anna was like, yes. I'm watching this movie, and I'm going to make sure I have something to say to Annette Bening.
Oh, yeah. Another just tiny little micro moment on the same topic was Sarah, they were asking Annette Bening about being outspoken about trans rights, and Sarah said, we talk on this show a lot about the LGBT community and trans rights, to which I thought, do you?
This is the last moment that I have to share. They were doing a topic where they were talking about how people believe they share personality characteristics with dogs. Yes. Sarah says, Cha-Cha is Sarah Haynes. What's your excuse, Anna? Because Cha-Cha is Sarah Haynes. Sunny says, well, she is very sweet. And Sarah says, I would not describe you in the same way in the morning, Anna. Cha-Cha is Sarah Haynes. Also, Joy and Alyssa both then showed videos of their dogs watching TV.
Yeah, like that was like in part of their argument that they are like them. Anna also said to Sarah, Cha-Cha is like you in that they're both bitches.
Cha-Cha is Sarah Haynes.
My last moment, my last and final moment is when they had Coleman Domingo on, and he's in The New Color Purple. He plays Mister in The New Color Purple, and he wasn't on for that, but he acknowledged Whoopi during the interview, and he just like stood up and started giving her a standing ovation, and everyone else stood up, all the hosts stood up, then the audience stood up, and they gave Whoopi like a minute long standing ovation for The Color Purple. And it was just like, deserved. Oh my God, this is what I deserved. This is what I was trying to talk, like, this is what I was trying to say in the last episode. Like, that is Whoopi Goldberg from The Color Purple. And so they all just applauded, and they're like, yes, you are Whoopi from The Color Purple, and you never forget it.
You are Beyonce. Thank you.
Exactly.
I actually did have one more. Friday's show ended the week with Sarah, with Joy saying, Sarah, the gondolier called. He wants his outfit back. She was wearing a striped shirt.
It's crazy because as soon as you said that, I knew exactly what outfit you were talking about. The gondolier called. That's so specific. Like,
and then,
most people see a striped shirt and they think like mime or something, and she went gondolier.
And then what's crazy is they put up a stock photo of a gondolier up on the screen. Like, she went to the producers and was like, I'm gonna get Sarah, help me out.
They're like, get the gondolier the photo. Yeah, see that? That's the man who called.
Okay, is there anything else you'd like to say, Elizabeth?
I think you really nailed it with the gondolier.
Okay, well then we're gonna say goodbye. If you are listening, don't be shy. You can always leave us a DM if there's something you want us to talk about on the next episode. And we love receiving voice memos as well. If you have a question, a comment, a rant, beef with someone that you wanna air out. Maybe a ho sister you want to call out. We'll take it. And so thank you all for listening. Until next time, I hope everyone has a great day. And remember to take a little time to enjoy
paying Alyssa to go to the club.
Hit it, Abby.
That's all, folks. See you later. John Hensman, the real job creator.
P.O.P. Enjoy the hunt.
P.O.P.
Wait, I hear Peter Pan.
We're bringing Hensman.